Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo.
Hey, real quick, you were talking about the Royals. 3.5 games back behind the Guardians.
Okay.
I was just looking at standings. I saw it. They went 4-6 in the last 10. The Guardians went 6-4.
Ah, the Guardians for a minute there, they lost like 3 or 4 in a row, like a week and a half ago. I thought, okay, this is the moment.
We're going to get them.
They're pretty good.
By the way, you should look good while you watch Royals baseball. Go to popflyapparel.com.
That's right.
Buy a t-shirt, for Christ's sake. Just stop by there and buy one.
Good designers.
You got to figure out how to pay for my kids' college. I started a company. The least you could do is go to the website.
Well,
popflyapparel.com.
If someone came to you, if I came to you and said, not if I came to you, but if someone tech savvy came to you and said, Lazo, do you want to get in on this? I've got this thing where we can generate a bunch of, you know, essentially fake streams, and Spotify will have to pay.
I'm going to have a pink lemonade.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Okay. We'll get these bots to listen to stream these songs.
Yeah, I love it.
No different than if I got a bot to watch these YouTube videos. And we'll get a check from Google because our video got a million views or whatever.
Sure.
So what we're going to do this with songs. I think any of us could easily be talked into that. Like, no, okay.
Yeah.
Because what I'd be thinking is like, it's not illegal. It doesn't sound all that illegal. It sounds like you got a computer.
I don't even know why it would be illegal.
Because they're calling it brazen fraud. That's what authorities called.
Brazen
That's their quote.
Fraud.
Quote, brazen fraud is one of the things that they said. This scheme that this North Carolina man allegedly used artificial intelligence to create hundreds of thousands of songs, then continuously streamed them using bot accounts to generate unlawful royalty products or payments. So he's not only... He's a musician. They keep calling him a musician. Uh-huh. So I guess he is a musician. But he was creating... fake songs. Are they fake? They're AI generated. I mean, it's real if I can hear it, right? So they were songs. Then he was using fake accounts. He was using bots to listen to these songs, quote unquote, listen to them, to stream these songs. And so, you know, it's not like he had an album that just wasn't doing well and he put his heart and soul into it and he was trying to get some fake streams for it. He was using AI to come up with these songs, exactly like what we're talking about earlier with the YouTube videos. You just have AI say, this is, you know, follow these news stories, make videos that are this long, do 1,000 of them a day, whatever. That sounds like what this guy was doing. He's in his 50s. His name's Michael Smith. He had his house raided by the feds last week when they came in, and they've arrested
Why?
This guy.
I don't know. Well, maybe they can explain to me what the
rule
is.
Well, here's the breaking news from when it happened.
FBI agents raided a Cornelius man's home. He's a musician now facing serious charges, accused of using AI to create and stream music and illegally collect more than $10 million
That's
in
a lot.
Royalties.
Michael Smith is charged with wire fraud conspiracy, wire fraud, and money laundering conspiracy.
$10 million, that's the problem.
I would be like, this is awesome. I don't think I would think I'm doing anything illegal.
What? You could talk me into it. You could definitely talk me into it.
There's a lot like, hey, we robbed 6 banks and we got $8 million. Let's do one more. It's like, every time you say let's do one more, that's the one you should stop at. Right? Like any crime, like, you know, whenever you say, hey, let's do one more and we're done, that means you're done. Because you've already thinking, for whatever reason, we should do one more and we're done. That's when you stop.
But people usually don't.
They usually do the one more and they get busted. That's why I always say, if someone in your group of criminals that you're with, doesn't matter what you're doing, just, you know, jumping people, picking pockets,
whatever,
you know, stealing drugs out of a hospital, whatever they are, whatever your crime is, you know, stealing Kias, whatever it is, when you say out loud to someone, all right, one more and we're done, that means there is no more.
Yeah.
Don't do it, because you're going to get caught. You already know you're going to get caught. But with this, I think you could convince me, like, yeah, we'll do 10 million, 20 million, who cares? Who cares if the streams are real or not? That's their problem, not mine.
That, to me, is the thing. It's their issue.
It's their issue. If they allow bots to stream music, then how do they know other people aren't doing it? How do they know I'm the only one to, like, it's their issue, not mine.
Well, hopefully he's not in trouble for using AI to create the music. I feel like they're trying to confuse people with that. And maybe they are upset, but I think what they're upset about are the bots getting
fake streams.
People are
saying, like Baja Blast said, faking streams to defraud Spotify, but you're not faking streams.
Well,
they're just bots.
They're bots doing it.
That song is still streamed. Like, if you told me they went in and broke the code and no one streamed that, the song wasn't actually playing and you just turned one stream into 20 million streams and it never happened, then I'd be like, okay. But clearly, something's streaming it.
Right, like, where is the law?
Because nobody's listening to it.
If I've got 10 computers at my house and I stream them all in 10 different computers, is that fraud?
Let's say I put out an album. And I'm like, I put out a single and I'm like, man, I've got 10 computers and I turn them all down and hit stream and play over and over again. Is that illegal? I would hope not.
It might be. I mean, if this guy's house got raided and they're calling it brazen fraud, then it might be. The issue would, of course, be how big is the scandal? How much fraud was there? How much money? $10 million is a lot. So, you know, when you're talking about a company forking over $10 million for something that they now know wasn't necessarily legitimate, because not only wasn't a real artist involved, although this guy is an artist himself, but he didn't write this music. The music was created by artificial intelligence.
Here you go, Mr. M. Twitter is monetized by impressions.
Right.
Bots, we know that bots are, you know, like if you went to,
but the
they've talked
government
about it,
doesn't
you went to all of Twitter.
Right, but does the government say, hey,
no,
advertisers are getting ripped
they're
off because you're faking how
like, hey, we think there's Russian bots swaying our elections.
Right.
And which is way more important than this dude getting money for songs. And they're like, yeah, I don't know if there's anything we can do about it. But then this guy makes music, and they're like, yeah, get the FBI involved. Like,
I know, that's the other thing. It's like, the FBI.
We know there's bots that sway the election. We know that. We've seen it in court, play out in the Senate. Like, we've seen it, like, whatever side you are, Facebook, and all these things. And they're like, yeah, I don't know if there's much we can do about it. And then this guy figures out a way to get $10 million from Spotify. And they're like, well, you need to go to prison? What?
Right. Right. Brazen. I mean, it's brazen fraud. He's got to go to prison. It is technically Spotify. Spotify's the big one. But Amazon Music was part of it. What's Apple's? Just Apple Music and then YouTube Music, I think. So they were all part of it because they were all companies that were paying out royalties to this guy. But I got the impression that Spotify was the one. At least that's the one that they talked about the most, was Spotify. But the other services were involved. But they said that, you know, what this guy did was wire fraud, which, as I mentioned earlier, they always say everything's wire fraud. Yeah. I need
a RICO charge.
Exactly. I need to know, going back to your Twitter thing, if the FBI isn't going to say, hey, you sell Starry Cola here, right, Pepsi? You want to sell Starry Cola? You bought advertising from Elon on Twitter, and he says, hey, you get this many impressions. You pay based on how many impressions he says you're getting, right? Well, if those impressions are bots or fake or whatever, you probably don't want to pay for those.
No.
But is the government getting involved and telling them to take
and
down the bots? Maybe they have, but I've never heard of this.
You've already
saw
that Instagram, how to be a star on Instagram documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Where the guy was like, yeah, like, we'll just get them, sure, like a million of these are bots, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a thing. People monetize that all the time. So for this guy to have his house raided by the feds, I'm just thinking, look, I'm not smart enough to pull this off, but if he wanted me to be a part of it, if he said, I need to use your computers, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Any way I can contribute.
Well, it's like, I'll split 50-50. Like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing, but if I did, yes.
Like, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. Because
of
there's no way this is
illegal.
Even if it is somehow
it's a loophole
punishable by the company where they go, oh, we're going to sue you. Oh, good luck.
Right.
Right? I'll disappear after that. But I don't expect the Federal Bureau of Investigators to come into my house. The head of the FBI is giving statements, and the assistant head of the FBI giving statements to the media about me, a North Carolina musician who figured out how to make some fake songs with AI. Again, I say fake.
But
are
by
they
the
really
way,
fake?
They're not fake songs. They're songs.
They're songs. They're
and
songs.
It was actually, like, I don't know what the definition of streamed is, but it can't be listened to.
Well, I guess that's what they want it to be, right?
But clearly, that's what they want it to be. Streamed and listened to aren't the same thing.
But that's what they're
hoping. So I can stream a song and turn the volume down.
Yeah.
I still streamed it.
Is that fraud? No. If I'm on the receiving end and I turn it down. Now, if I just turn it down
on my phone.
What
about if I'm just a Taylor Swift fan?
Exactly.
And I'm like, you know what? I've heard of people who are fans of bands saying, you know, hey, this week stream this song so much so it becomes number one. Is that fraud?
Yep.
They're not listening to it every time they stream it.
There's no way. And I mean, even if you just have a friend who's in a band or friends who are in a band, and they say, hey, you know, we need to get over 1,000 streams or whatever it is, you can help them out.
Of course.
Is the FBI supposed to come to my house because I did that? We're talking about this because the guy got $10 million, right? I mean, that's why.
Right.
Obviously, if your friends are trying to get over 1,000 streams and get, you know, moved into some other playlist, then that's fine. That's okay. That's just friendly. No one's harmed, sort of, you know, fraud, I guess. It would still be fraud, though, because we're listening to the songs, and we're doing it to help this artist out. There's no part of me that would have thought, yeah, if I get involved in this, I could end up in prison for the rest of my life. No way. And the FBI comes to my house and raids it, and it becomes national news. And it did, you know, Snowcone, you gave us this story last week. I think he was arrested. Was his house raided on Wednesday, maybe?
Yeah.
And you gave us the story on Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. But it's really continued to grow since then. I think people are now starting to become more aware of it.
New big article in Bloomberg today about it.
Maybe that's why. Because I keep seeing it more and more places. I'm seeing it posted on social media, on Twitter, on Reddit. And I feel like people are maybe wondering the same thing. What exactly did this guy do that's so different than what you were just talking about, helping a friend, listening, you know, hitting play on a bunch of computers? Is it just because he was successful and made a bunch of money? Or is it because the headline is great because it says AI and that the media loves anything that involves AI right now? Is that it? Because they're fake songs. Hey, they were fake songs because they weren't written by a human being.
Songs.
Right, they were songs written by a computer.
Right.
Right? I mean,
that he said, he put in the information.
And he told it to do it.
So he said, write a song about whatever.
Yeah.
And then it did it.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that's his song more than it's anybody else's, unless you want to say it's whoever the CEO is of ChatGPT, CM,
but
whatever.
But ChatGPT ain't chewing them.
Right. No, there's no way. They're not the ones who are kicking the door down. It's the feds. And I'm sure Spotify's like, great, we want to catch these people because we want to send them money. Okay. But you got to show me the law.
Right.
Why is this wire fraud? There's no way that a law that was invented for telegrams has anything to do with AI music,
right, exactly,
and streams on Spotify. There's no way.
How are they going to say, like, that isn't, like, it's not real? Quit saying it's not real.
You need to get a hold of this attorney. You should try and get a hold of them and figure out at least who's going to represent this guy, because I hope that they're ready with these arguments that you just made.
More Church of Laszlo on the way.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
What were we just talking about? Oh, that Sopranos thing. I gotta watch that.
Oh, yeah, me too.
What's it called, Snowcone?
Wise Guy.
Streaming
on Max now.
About David Chase?
Yes. About him and creating the Sopranos.
I thought it was like a documentary, but it looks like there's episodes.
Yeah, they've been promoting it. I think I'm going to start tonight.
I'll watch it tonight, too.
Well, you got to watch the Hope Solo thing first. You're going to watch that.
Hope Solo first, and then Wise Guy.
Then the Wise Guy thing. I think you'll like the Hope Solo thing better.
Probably.
But I haven't seen the Wise Guy thing yet, but you're a sports person, so I think you'll like the Hope Solo thing. It's interesting. Greatest American soccer player of all time. It was interesting. I feel bad, man. They can't find a lot of people to say nice things about her, or at least there's a lot of people that have bad things to say about her. She's controversial. Ugh.
What about her husband?
Well, he loves her. He says great things about her. He was there at the...
What's wrong with her? Why does he say things?
Well, some people... You have to watch it, Snowcone. Some people said she was difficult to work with, and, you know, she got... She said some things on camera after a couple of matches that people didn't like, and yeah, it was fascinating. I'd say probably greatest sports documentary of all time.
We'll all watch that tonight.
It was the greatest sports documentary I've ever seen.
Nice.
I mean, I can't think of anything better.
I've
seen a lot
sports.
Of good ones. Okay. Being funny guy over here. Yeah. Just Hope Solo, the greatest American soccer player of all time.
That may be true, but that's an indictment on American soccer.
Not
an accolade to her.
Oh, I was going to talk to you about drugs and quitting drugs. There's some good news about your kids. And
they're both on?
Well, not your kids specifically, but I guess, maybe your kids specifically, because your kids are kids right now.
They are.
So they were part of this group. They were asking kids... you know, what they're up to. And looks like kids and their vaping is way down. Mm-hmm.
Crackman wants to know if they tried telling Hope Solo to calm down a little.
Watch the documentary.
Okay.
You might at one point go, you need to calm down.
Okay.
You just need to calm down right now.
Listen
Are
here.
You on your period?
Listen here, Toots. Or settle it down.
I want to talk to you about this.
Know your role.
This
so Galarraga got her back in pocket?
I don't know that I would say that. I wouldn't say that.
I don't think that
he would want you to say that. I think you could make his life a little more difficult.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about drugs and how hard they are to quit coming up.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
Yo. Well, good news for all you DARE graduates out there. You came through somehow because teens were vaping like crazy. Every kid had a Juul snuck up their sleeve in class. I think my niece got in trouble for vaping in school. I don't know how old she is now. I mean, she's out of school, but she probably would have been part of this group when they said that it hit its peak. And I can only imagine, like, you guys smoked cigarettes in high school, right? All three of us did. So could you imagine if you had access to a Juul where you could essentially smoke in class? We all would have been doing it. The three of us would have definitely been doing it. And personally, as someone who's done both, I think vaping is even more addictive. I think partially because it's so easy to do. You can lay there in bed and do it. It doesn't smell. You know what I mean? And it just makes it almost too easy. It, like in an airplane, I never would have thought, I'm going to go in the bathroom and light up a cigarette on this airplane. There's no way, because I know that I'd get arrested for that. But with a vape, I know it says no vaping, but I'm going to go in the bathroom on the airplane and vape, because nobody knows. So a lot of teens were vaping, and they were very worried about it, because something gateway drug, something nicotine's hard to quit, and kids apparently aren't doing it.
A brand new report finds vaping among young people is on a steady decline, dropping to its lowest level in a decade. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
More than 1.6 million students reported vaping in the past month. That's about a third of what it was at its peak back in 2019, when more than 5 million young people reported using vapes.
So these kids would be in Lazo's kids' age range, I think, which Lazo had said that your kids had said vaping was not cool. Like, they weren't part of that vaping is cool. They thought it was stupid, and you believed them. It wasn't just
I mean, I haven't found a vape. I just think they think it's not that cool.
And it seems like kids aren't doing it nearly as much. So, look, I don't know about gateway drugs and all that stuff that we learned in DARE. I don't know if any of that's true. But I will say,
it's obviously, nicotine. I mean, I started like everybody else.
Yeah, you started with cigarettes and then you move your way up, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it must be true. But
makes sense. Like, once you break that seal.
Yeah, then that's it. I've already done some bad things. Let's try some other bad things.
Right, it's like, well, I'll never. You know,
then you try weed, and then you're like, or alcohol.
Well, it's like anything. It's like, you know, I know people are going to get weird about this, but I don't want to come off as a get off my lawn type of guy, but I remember. Oh, I'll never smoke cigarettes. They're bad for you. They're not good.
Yep.
That's what bad people do. And then you try it one time, and you're like, oh, look at that. I like cigarettes. And they're like, oh, but I'll never smoke weed.
Yep.
And, you know, all of a sudden, you're like, well, I'll never try crack. And you're like, maybe I will. Like, it's just a go. That's where it goes.
No one's offering.
Once you break it, I feel like if you don't ever do it, then you probably don't ever do it.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're like, I'm never going to smoke
fair.
A drink, and you literally never smoke
do
a
neither.
Drink.
Yeah.
Then you don't get to crack.
Yep.
I've never met anyone who's like,
started
look, man, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I've never smoked a joint, but if you guys want to just do some crack, I'd be into it. I've never met that.
No, I haven't either. But which one of those drugs is the hardest to quit? Because, like, remember Ozzy saying
nicotine
that he tried
sure,
all these things, and he said, I think it was Ozzy, and he said nicotine's, like, the one that's the hardest to quit. I hate it. And I've heard people say that, but is it true? Is nicotine harder to quit? Is there a way to actually quantify
harder
this?
Harder to quit for me than crack.
Well, that's true.
I quit crack.
Could access be part of that, though, because cigarettes are everywhere?
I think it's also because you're, like, money.
Yeah.
The amount of time it takes you to get off of it. And then I think it's like this next cigarette that I have won't kill me.
Yeah.
But it'll contribute to it.
It's never this one.
Right. It won't, but it'll
I'm not going
to
overdose on a cigarette.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you start doing harder drugs, you're like, this one could kill me.
Yeah. This could
and
be
so
a bad
you find bet. Yourself, you know, like not a lot of people just destitute for Newport.
Oh, yeah. I think access
I mean, snow
is
cone,
a huge part of that.
Other than that.
I think it's,
that was one time with me. It was late at night at the bar.
But what
and
was
I
you?
Happen to have a pack of Newports.
Okay,
and he happened to have a mouth.
Well, I
remember that, buddy.
Oh, I remember it.
You
it
were
was
young
3 days ago.
You were younger.
I will openly
three
admit,
days younger.
I've never smoked crack. I don't know how hard it is to quit. It sounds like it's hard to quit. I'd like to try it. Lazar tells me not to.
Nah, don't.
I told him, like, I want to try
because
it. I've never
it's
done
awesome.
It. And he's like, no. As soon as you smoke it, I remember you saying, As soon as you start to feel the high, you're like, I want more of this now.
Immediately.
It's not like, oh, I'm coming off of this, and now I'd like to get some more crack. It's like, as soon as you feel the high, you're like, give me more.
Yeah,
make it stronger from the very first time, which is dangerous.
And I know people get mad at me, but look, if your kids are listening, like, they should know. Like, you can't lie to them and say, like, it doesn't feel good. Because if you lie to them and say it doesn't feel good, then when they try it, they're going to be like, oh, you're lying. It feels good.
Yeah.
You just have to be honest about it, is that it feels awesome. It's great, but it'll lead you to death, despair, jail, you know, all those things. Like the final, the risk versus reward isn't there for you. That's what you have to tell people. Like, it ain't worth it. If it was worth it, then I've never met, the other part of that is I've never met somebody who's like, you know, I've been smoking crack for 20 years and life's pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Life's pretty good.
It's my one vice. My therapist calls it my rescuer. Right, I look forward to it in the mornings.
I've never heard
I'll take
it.
A crack break at afternoon, another
never
crack break.
Never heard anybody
on my own.
Like, I'm killing it.
No, that's
just
true.
Smoking crack for 20 years, life is good. Like, that's what you have to point out to kids. Like, it leads to, you know, a horrible ending.
And maybe nicotine
for everyone.
Maybe it is truly a gateway drug, and that's what happens, like you said, because you don't start with crack. So maybe that's true. But they've said, okay, these are the drugs.
I will say, Coronado Crack Man said, come smoke some crack with me in Coronado.
That sounds good.
If you've ever been to Coronado Island, that does sound fun.
That sounds good.
Man, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and if I said, you've got to smoke crack to get there, I'll get you the plane ticket, but you got to smoke, and I'll get
Once
you trip
get there.
There. Yeah, and then you're going to smoke when you get there.
Oh,
you'd be down. You'd be down. Even as a father, you'd be down. So they say,
like a week off?
Yeah, I mean, you may get fired, so it might be
I will,
retirement.
I don't want that.
Well, you might not want to come back to work once you start smoking crack.
I know, but
on
I got corona. You.
Well,
I can do it for a week.
Not if you're high on crack.
I could pull it off for a week.
Again, like just trying to imagine on people who are really high on crack going, what I got to do is work harder. I got to get back to work. I think you probably just focus on getting more crack. So
Especially when you're hanging out with a dude called Crack Man.
Right. They've said.
It seems to me like he might have more crack.
And look, I don't know how they quantify this stuff, but they say that nicotine is not the hardest to quit. And they've said, here are the six that are hardest to quit. So these six drugs are the most difficult to quit, according to the American Addiction something something. Number six is alcohol. Now, I think with alcohol, there's levels of addiction, probably like a lot of drugs. There's some people that drink so much that if they quit drinking, they could die, right? I don't know what that's called, but they have withdrawal. So if you're at a level where you have withdrawal from alcohol, I'm sure that's a whole new component here. Like, I have to drink, or I have to slowly wean myself off of this, or do it in a hospital setting because I could die. But if you're just someone who binge drinks too much, and, you know, you got a problem, it's not easy for that person either.
No.
Because as soon as you start feeling better, you always, for whatever reason, alcohol is the one where you go, I don't think it was that bad. I don't think I felt that bad. I got in some trouble, but I don't have to. I won't get in that. I won't do that again. I'll control myself this time. I'll limit how much I drink. Alcohol is the drug that does that to you. And maybe other drugs do that too, but I don't think so. Again, like with the crack and heroin and stuff, you never go like, I'm just going to do a little bit. I just like to do a little bit, just a small amount, pace myself throughout the day. No, you want to get high, you want to get high.
Right.
Well, with alcohol, you trick yourself. So alcohol, they say, is the sixth hardest. Nicotine is the fifth hardest.
Okay.
Which Ozzy says is the hardest, you know.
I think it's the hardest.
I believe
quit everything.
You
like
quit.
I've quit everything. I quit drinking for 20 years. I mean,
you quit cigarettes.
I'm doing it
for
again.
A while.
I quit cigarettes. But the hardest I ever went through was cigarettes.
And
I started smoking them again.
It was
like, it's
tough
horrible.
For those of us around you. I mean, you thought, and this was like
was
after
dying.
A month, you thought you were dying.
Yeah.
Legitimately thought you had a neurological disease that was killing you.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get you to
realize that
it.
I was going through withdrawals, but I was.
Yeah. So nicotine, they say, is fifth hardest. Number four is benzos. So like Xanax, Klonopin.
I've never had a problem with those.
Snowcone says that he was talking. I've heard you talk about Stevie Nicks saying that that's the thing she had the hardest time getting off of.
I've never, but I guess I've just never thought about being addicted. I've had prescription for Klonopin, and a lot of times they sit on my shelf without me using them.
That's the way the doctor wants them to work. Yeah,
but you know, my doctor actually told me that. Now, who knows if this is true? He said that people who are prescribed them usually don't get addicted to them. It's people who buy them and use them are the people who get addicted to them.
Yeah.
He said, because like, if you're anxious and you actually need them,
you're not feeling great.
Right, you're not feeling great. And also, you tend not to just do them for fun.
Right.
because you're like, I'm going to need this in a couple days.
It's a weapon.
I shouldn't do this just to hang out with my buddies. I'm going to need that later because I'm going to get anxious. Yep. So.
And what that's how mine have been for years, and it's like, what if I what if somehow I start to build a tolerance to these, or they stop? Right. This is the only weapon I have for when I have a really bad panic attack and can't get out of it. So again, we shouldn't confuse hardest to quit and most addictive. Those are probably separate things, almost certainly separate things. This is hardest to quit. So I don't think they're saying that benzos are most likely, you know, the fourth most likely to cause you to get addicted. I think they're saying that if you are addicted, they're the fourth hardest to quit. And that, I would assume that's someone who's taking them every day in excess. And I know I've heard about people saying they have really bad withdrawal after taking them for years on a daily basis. So, but the risk of that happening, I don't know what that is. But it's the fourth hardest to quit. The third hardest to quit, they say, is meth. They say methamphetamine and crystal meth. Which, what's the difference between methamphetamine and crystal meth? I thought it was the same thing.
I thought it was the same thing.
It says methamphetamine and crystal meth. But anyway, that's number three. Number two is
cocaine. When I was younger, we called it crank.
Right. Ice, meth, do people call it speed when they're referring to meth?
Speed was different.
Speed, I guess, was speed, but...
crank.
I think it was just always called meth. Anyway, meth and crystal meth is the third hardest to quit. Number two, any guesses what the top two are? I mean, you should have some guess. The hardest drugs to quit.
It's got
to
be coke and opiates.
Coke is number two, yeah. And then heroin and opioids, they said. They just put them together. Heroin slash opioids are the hardest to quit. The thing about opioids is that as soon as you take them, you, like you said about crack, you start wanting more. And you can start to have withdrawal after taking it just once.
Yeah.
Where you're like, ooh, I don't feel as good now as I did before I took the drug. Not as good as when I was high, but... Before I ever took that drug for the first time, I feel worse now than I did before I took it for the first time. If I take the drug, I'll feel better than I did before.
Right,
yeah. So you're immediately addicted to it. I mean, how?
I guess coke is the same as crack. They just put
that's my thing. Would you put those in the same thing if you're smoking it?
I mean, it's the same drugs.
Don't they say smoking it is much more addictive?
But people freebase cocaine. Right. It's different than crack. So
it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that
crack in and of itself is like, you know, it's that.
It's a
little
rock.
Tiny rock that you pay $5 for.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's $5. It's just, it's been sat on and like, you know. But it gives you 20 minutes of euphoria. That's it. Literally it. 20 minutes of euphoria that you've never felt before.
20 minutes, huh?
Yeah. Wow. I would say, honestly, 20 minutes. Like a decent-sized rock, 20 minutes.
Well, that's the thing about some of these drugs.
You smoke it more than once in that rock.
Crack is cheap. Cocaine's so expensive.
Right.
To me, that makes it a little bit harder to get addicted to in the first place.
Exactly.
Rich, because it's so expensive.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9, The Rock. The Rock. The Rock.
Yo!
Yo! Do you care about getting older? Like, does it bother you?
Well, I mean, about dying, I guess.
Do you think about
that? Closer to death than I was born.
Yeah, but do you think about
that? I think about it.
Like, when you lay in bed at night, you worry about... I mean, I worry about how I'll die.
I don't worry about that.
Like, will it be drawn out? Will it, you know, getting the news, hey, you always knew you were going to die, but now we know it's coming pretty soon.
You know.
That's what scares me. But actually getting older?
I don't, dying, but I'm closer to dying. I know that.
Yeah. So that would be your main thing. It's just the obvious one.
Yeah. I'm not scared of death like a lot of people are. I'm really not.
I'm scared of dying is what
I'm scared
of.
Well, dying, like a long drawn out
dying. Being told that
I'm dying. But I'm also like, well... I could probably handle that, you know, if it's a long, drawn-out thing, I probably figure it out. I think I'm a smart guy in the sense that, like, you know, hey, if I got to go to Oregon and take my boys with me, then, you know, we'll have that discussion.
Yeah, but you're not worried about what happens after. I'm not worried about that.
I'm not worried about what happens to me after. What makes me sad is, like, and so I lay up at night and kind of feel sad, is, like, what I'll miss
because
with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to see that. Like, I won't be alive for their entire lifetime. Like, and nobody is alive for that. But, like, I won't be alive to see them be grandparents.
Right.
Well, of course not. But it still bums me out.
Yeah, because it's going to be a big deal.
Like, that'll be so cool.
Like, to see
I wish I would like to be there.
Yeah. Well, the worst parts about getting old, honestly, what's funny is the thought that you're going to die wasn't, like, the top thing. Or, like, knowing that you're... Because to me, that's... If you're bummed about turning 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, even if you're not thinking about it consciously, it's because of our mortality, right?
Of course.
That's the issue. But there are other things that suck about getting older.
Because people say, like, oh, when I get older, well, let me tell you, as somebody who's gotten older, who's gone through the 20s, 30s, right, 40s, part of, like, the being afraid of getting older when you're 20 is like, oh, well, I'm not going to have any fun anymore. I'm not going to be able to do all... you can. So relax. Like, in your 50s, in your 60s, you can still have as much fun as you want.
You're also not...
That's up to you.
Your idea of fun changes, but yeah.
But still, like, look, man, we're 40s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be crazy for me and you to get together on a Thursday night and just get wildly hammered?
No.
And go out and do something incredibly stupid like we did in our 20s?
No.
Now, you may be reluctant to do that because you know of the repercussions.
Yeah, you might want to do it less.
But it wasn't that long ago. I mean, you did something like that. So, like, you know, don't be crazy.
Well, if you're just 40, didn't bother me nearly as much as specifically 35. 30 messed me up a little bit, but 35 snuck up on me.
Right.
But 40, once I knew 40 was coming, I tried to get mentally prepared.
I
mean,
I've had some time to go, but I do think about 60.
Well, we'll talk about the other parts of being old.
It's like pushing it away. Like, I know. I literally may not make it to 60.
60 doesn't sound that old to me, though.
Nah, that one is like, oh, boy.
I know. People freak out about 60, too.
60 sounds old. Like, you know, 30, 40, that never bothered me.
Maybe it's because I've got older brothers that are quite a bit older.
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't sound that old to me. You guys don't seem old. That's the best part that no one tells you about, getting older, is all your friends, and they all get older, too.
And for guys, don't worry about it. Younger girls like older guys.
That's the best part of being a guy.
Like, it'll keep you young, son.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
On 98.9 The Rock. KQRC Leavenworth, Kansas City's rock station. Always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.